All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is Paul's great declaration in the book of Romans. We fail to reflect the character of God, he says, and therefore we incur the wrath of God, for we were made to bear his image in this world. We were made to be his representatives and to bring all creation into submission to us, to rule over them in his place and to glorify him as his servants in the world. But we do not do this. We do not reflect the purpose of our creation in our lives. And therefore, God is angry with humanity. The need then is for men and women, boys and girls, to be made right with God. That is, to use the technical term, to be justified, to set right with God, just as if I'd never sinned, just as if I'd always obeyed. That is how I need to be. If God is to be happy with me, he needs to see someone who is perfect, someone who is righteous, someone who is obedient to him, someone who bears his character and who does his will. Now, we've already in our studies in this book of Romans been considering the subject of justification for a couple of earlier studies. We focus particularly on the fact that justification is a work accomplished by Christ alone. That it is not something that we are able to do. There is no one who can stand before God and declare himself justified in God's sight. It is a declaration that God must make. It is an assessment that he must bear witness to. And the only work of justification that is approved by God is the work that is accomplished by Jesus Christ. We've also noted that this work of justification is by grace alone. It is the gift of God. It is an undeserved favor from the Creator to the creature who, far from deserving it, is deserving of the opposite. Instead of favor, we deserve wrath, indignation, and judgment. Now, this morning, I want to consider with you a third aspect of justification. And that is that this, in order to be justified before God, in order to be made right with God, this justification is by faith alone. It is by faith alone. There are four things that I want to say about this. And the first is that faith is necessary for justification. Faith is necessary for justification. Certainly the work of Jesus Christ is necessary for justification, and we'll return to that point in a moment. And grace is necessary for justification. It cannot be earned. But we also need to realize that faith is necessary for justification. Paul declares the fact in verse 28 of chapter 3. We hold, he says, that one is justified by faith, apart from the works of the law. By faith, apart from the works of the law. In other words, Paul is setting faith in contrast to the works of the law. What are the works of the law? He's made reference to them earlier in verse 20. By works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. The works of the law are the works of obedience to the commands of God. We read earlier in our service from Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments that are so familiar to us, if only we were able to obey them with the consistency with which we are able to quote them, we would be doing much better than we are. And it simply reflects the fact that by the works of the law, no one is justified, because we cannot keep the law. What the law does is demonstrate to us the sinfulness of our hearts and our lives, as our failure to obey the law proves our guilt before God. Over against the works of the law, then, Paul says justification is by faith. It cannot be earned. What we earn is death. As Paul will later declare in chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin, the wages of disobedience to the law of God, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. What we earn as we do the works of the law is death, because our working of the law is fraught with failure. So justification then is a gift of grace, an undeserved favor from God received by those to whom he gives it. And in order to receive this, we must have faith. This gift is received by faith. He said it earlier in this section, chapter 3 and verses 24 and 25. We are justified by his grace as a gift to be received by faith. And so we can picture faith in terms of a gift being received. What happens when someone gives you a gift? Do you have to do something to earn it? Well, no, you don't. All you have to do is stretch out your hand and take it from them. They give it to you, you stretch out your hand and you take it. Well, that's what faith is. Faith is stretching out your hand and taking the gift. It's laying hold of the gift that is offered to you. It is trust, then, that when God says, I forgive you, you are indeed forgiven. It is trust that when God says, you are clean, you have been washed, you are pure, that you are in fact clean, washed, and pure. It is trust that when God says, your debt has been paid, there is nothing more owed, it has been paid in full, that is so. Faith then lays hold of the promises of God and believes them to be true for myself. And that is absolutely necessary for justification. We are justified by faith, by receiving what God gives to us as a gift. But it has to be received. That's the point that Paul is making here. And in fact, this word faith crops up in this section from verse 21 of chapter 3 through to verse 31 a number of times. It seems to be the dominant word in this whole section. Faith is necessary for justification. But we need to say something more than that. And that leads me to my second point, which is this. Faith in Jesus Christ is necessary for justification. Faith in Jesus Christ is necessary for justification. I said essentially the same thing a couple of studies ago when we were looking at being justified by Christ alone, that Jesus Christ must be the focus of our faith. While faith trusts in the promises of God, It isn't a leap in the dark. It isn't a faith that's kind of like blind to reality, that actually goes against the evidence, and that we somehow lay hold of these promises without really knowing, are they true? We're simply going to believe them, while a thousand other voices are saying, myths, legends, fables, stories. No, our faith trusts in the promises of God because our faith is focused upon Jesus Christ, who is the one who has accomplished our justification. In other words, when God says, you are forgiven, when God says, you are clean, when God says, your debt is paid, we believe it not only because God says it, but we believe it because God shows us how those things are so. How are we forgiven? How are we cleansed? How is the debt paid? It is all accomplished by Jesus Christ. And so Paul says in verse 22 that the righteousness that is from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Christ becomes the focus of our faith. We believe in what Christ has done to provide a righteousness that is not our own. We read the accounts of the Gospels and we observe the life of Christ and we hear the claims of Christ and we believe them. We believe that Jesus Christ always did the Father's will. We believe the words of God testified on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. At every point in his life then, Jesus pleased God the Father. He always did the will of God the Father. He obeyed the law of God perfectly, so that even the scribes and the Pharisees who knew the law of God intimately could bring no charge against him. They didn't believe some of his claims, perhaps, and in the end brought a sentence of death upon him because of blasphemy, because they didn't believe his claims, but they could not bring any charge against him in terms of breaking the law of God other than blasphemy. And of course, he wasn't blaspheming. His claim to divine sonship was true. It was real. Their unbelief caused them to deny it. And so Jesus was perfect in his righteousness. And that perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ is provided to those who have faith in him as a covering for their unrighteousness. It is a garment of salvation. It is a robe of righteousness that covers all of their sins, so that when God looks upon them and sees them, he sees them as righteous because of their union with Jesus Christ. Paul goes on and he says that all are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. There is redemption and propitiation because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has redeemed us. Peter says that he has redeemed us not with silver and gold, but with his own blood. That was the payment price to free us from slavery to sin and to bring us into the ownership of God, and indeed more than ownership. We have been adopted into his family. It is the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross that propitiated the wrath of God. It quenched the wrath of God. He absorbed the wrath of God himself, the wrath that we deserve for our sins, so that we are reconciled to God. In verse 26, then, he goes on and he says that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. The faith, you see, is not simply vaguely centered upon the promises of God. You are forgiven, you are cleansed, your debt is paid. But this faith is focused upon the person and work of Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, who became the perfect man and represented us before the throne of God and the judgment seat of God, and incurred the wrath of God instead of us, so that we might be freed from condemnation. Faith is necessary for justification, but that faith must be in Jesus Christ. Faith is not enough. It needs to be the right kind of faith. It must be faith focused on the finished work of Christ. There's a third thing that I want to say about this faith, and that is that faith in Jesus Christ is necessary for the justification of all. Faith in Jesus Christ is necessary for the justification of all. We've considered in an earlier study the fact that in this passage, Paul is not thinking in terms of everybody in the world. In the earlier section, from verse 18 of chapter 1 through verse 20 of chapter 3, that has been Paul's focus. Everyone in the world is a sinner. Everyone in the world falls short of the glory of God, because they do not seek God, they are not righteous, they do not understand, they do no good. Everyone in the whole world is in that condition. But in this section, Paul's focus is upon those whom God chooses to save. And when he uses the word all here, it isn't everyone in the world, but everyone who is saved, so that when he says in verse 23, all have sinned, he's focusing more narrowly upon those who are saved. Everyone who is saved was a sinner. Well, I guess that doesn't really need to be said. They are saved from their sinfulness. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we can insert another all here because it's part of the same phrase. All are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. All have sinned. Everyone who is justified by faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And that really becomes the emphatic declaration of verses 28 through 30. We hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is he not God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Faith justifies all who are justified. There are no different routes to peace with God. There is only one road that leads to reconciliation with God, and that is through the work of Jesus Christ, that is received by faith. If anyone then is to be justified before God, it can only happen through faith in Jesus Christ. The Jews, must be justified by faith, not by works of the law. They were entrusted with the oracles of God, Paul has said in chapter 3 and verse 2. They had received the law of God, the law of God which set the Jews apart as a distinct nation from all the other nations of the world. It was a great privilege to have the law of God. But they are not justified by the law of God. He has said it more than once. By the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. It is faith apart from the works of the law that saves. And so the Jews must be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. They're not a special class of people whose possession of the law makes them righteous. It's not the possession of the law, it's the keeping of the law that is necessary. And they can't do that. But it's not just the Jews who need to be justified by faith, but the Gentiles also, the non-Jews. In other words, everyone else in the world who isn't a Jew. Is God the God of the Jews only, Paul asks? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, since God is one. There is only one God, who is the God of all. And the God who offers salvation to Jews by faith in Jesus Christ offers salvation to Gentiles by faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul uses the same kind of argument, but he takes it from a slightly different angle when he writes in Galatians chapter 2 and verses 15 and 16, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ, in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified." Paul there is writing to Jews who are exalting the rituals and the ceremonies and the laws of Israel. They are basically saying that if you're a Jew, you must keep these things in order to be right with God. Faith in Jesus Christ alone is fine for the Gentiles who don't have the law, they were saying. But for us Jews, we need the law as well. And Paul says, no. No, that's not the case. No one is justified by the works of the law, but we are justified through faith in Jesus Christ, Jew and Gentile alike. There is one God over all, and he saves all in exactly the same way. So Gentiles must be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Jews must be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, there's one more thing that I want to say with regard to this subject. Well, actually, I've got a lot more to say, but the rest is saved for later sermons. This theme of faith doesn't finish with the end of chapter 3. It continues through into chapter 4 and chapter 5. But for this morning, the last thing that I want you to note is that all who are justified by faith in Jesus Christ uphold the law. Faith is necessary for justification. Faith in Jesus Christ is necessary for justification. Faith in Jesus Christ is necessary for the justification of all. And all who are justified by faith in Jesus Christ uphold the law. You see, the Jews were responding, well, this kind of faith seems to annul the law. It seems to make the law pointless. Do we overthrow the law by this faith? What's the point of the law if sinners are saved through faith, not through obedience? And Paul's response is this very strong term that he uses, translated in the ESV as "by no means," or it might be in your translation as "God forbid." We do not overthrow the law. On the contrary, we uphold the law. And we have to ask the question, well, in what sense then is the law upheld as something good and necessary if our salvation, our justification, is by faith alone in Christ alone? What is the point of the law? Well, those who are justified by faith in Jesus Christ uphold the law in three ways. They uphold the veracity of the law. They uphold the truthfulness of the law, the perfection of the law. They recognize that the law is the manifestation of God's character. That character that is to be represented and reflected in humanity. The law describes, in a sense, the kind of person that God is and how he relates to those he has made. And so those who are saved by faith in Jesus Christ declare that the law is good because it reflects the character of the God who is good. There's nothing wrong with the law. The writer of Hebrews tells us that the problem isn't with the law, the problem is with the people. We are sinners. We're unable to keep the law, but the law is good. It reflects the character of God. And so those who are justified by faith in Jesus Christ say, yes, the law is true. They uphold the veracity of the law. In the second place, they uphold the verdict of the law. All are guilty before God. Those who are justified by faith in Jesus Christ acknowledge their sin. None is righteous. I'm not righteous. No one understands. I am ignorant. No one seeks for God. I am selfish. All have turned aside. My back is towards God. I'm going my own way. No one does good. Every thought and inclination of my mind is only evil continually. The words that I speak and the actions of my body are all contaminated by sinful motives. This is me. The law is right. I am wrong. The verdict of the law is true. I stand guilty before God, deserving of his eternal judgment. Those who are justified by faith in Jesus Christ uphold the verdict of the law. And then in the third place, they uphold the validity of the law. There has been a trend in recent years, probably not new, but certainly has become dominant, that the law is nothing now and grace is everything. And we live in an age that is not to be governed by the law, but is to be governed by grace. And it's a misusing and a twisting of the words of the Apostle Paul that we'll come to at another time. Those who are justified by faith in Jesus Christ uphold the validity of the law for our lives today. For if in reality it is the manifestation of the God's character and we are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, the law shows us how we ought to live. It is a relevant guide for us in our day-to-day lives. We are not bound to keep the law for our salvation, but we are bound to keep the law in order to glorify God. In Galatians, which we've already referred to, but in a later section of that letter, Paul writes to the church in Galatia and says in verses 13 and 14 of Galatians chapter 5, "You were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." The whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus was once asked, what's the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus wasn't dismissing the law of the Old Testament. He wasn't dismissing the Ten Commandments. He was summarizing them in that statement. James says essentially the same thing. Many people have taken the words of James as being in contradiction to the words of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul declares that we are saved by faith apart from the law. And James says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." That sounds like a contradiction to me. Faith apart from the law saves, according to Paul. Faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead, according to James. But what James is declaring is that our faith is demonstrated by our works. Our faith produces works. Someone will say, "You have faith, I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works. Can you do it? I will show you my faith by my works." Faith isn't absent. The works demonstrate that the words are true. And so what James is saying and what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 is essentially what he's also saying here, that those who are justified by faith in Jesus Christ uphold the law. They don't overthrow the law. They don't say the law is irrelevant. It has nothing to say. It has no command over me anymore. No, the law is valid today. It's relevant as a guide for my Christian life so that I may bear the character of God in my own being. So, justification is a free gift of God's grace. It is the result of the work of Jesus Christ that is received by faith in the promises of God and the work of Christ. There is no other way to be justified before God. There is no other way to be declared righteous on the day of judgment than by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And that is where our hope needs to be. Not in anything that we do, not even in the things that we believe in terms of Christian doctrine. The devil believes all that is true about God in that sense. No, our salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, as a free gift of God. So we must trust in God for our salvation. But this is also of huge significance for us in terms of our relationship to the world. The people out there in the world are all guilty, condemned by the law of God. Every one of them is unrighteous. Not one of them understands. Not one of them is seeking God. Not one of them does good. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And we are commissioned to take a message of salvation by faith in Christ alone to these people. These people who are in desperate need of justification. The only way that they will be justified is through knowing Jesus and trusting Jesus. But it's also true that as much as they have this need, there is nothing else that is going to do them any good. We don't go out into the world and tell them, you've got to clean up your life. You've got to sort out your habits and overcome your problems. No, we take them as they are, in all the vileness of their sinfulness, and we proclaim to them the grace of God in the person of Jesus Christ, praying that in God's mercy the Spirit will work in their lives and bring about a transformation. And then as the Lord works in them to bring them under conviction of sin and to show them the Saviour and enable them to trust in him, we have the great responsibility of discipling them in the ways of God and showing them that Jesus Christ not only provides salvation from the guilt of sin, but he also provides freedom from the power of sin. Helping them to have a right focus and a right attitude that lays hold of Jesus Christ and all that is so powerful in him to enable us to overcome the power of sin. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And the salvation that Jesus brings to those who have faith in him is a full salvation, a complete salvation, that results in a people who reflect the character of God. So may God help us to have this faith in him for salvation, and help us to proclaim faith in him for the salvation of sinners around us.